Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. My name's Richard Vobes, and this is the audio diary behind the scenes of a YouTube creator. And soon, a would-be farmer. I didn't turn the internet off last night. How interesting. I am going to turn it off, however, and replenish the modem with a fresh IP address. Always good to keep the authorities guessing. Yes, a would-be, hopefully a novelist, although I've written a novel, so I can, I suppose, call myself a novelist, and a potentially would-be farmer. The cloud is covering the sky today. It was beautifully sunny an hour earlier, and I sat on my windowsill, on the bathroom windowsill, which catches the first glimmers of light, and at 6 o'clock, and enjoyed it. It's just after seven. Oh, it's quarter past seven now. And that was very beautiful. And I was reading a book, and I wanted to read a bit to you, actually. Let's put my light on here. So not round the farm this time. We will return to that. This is Paul Brunton's, Dr. Paul Brunton's, Quest of the Over-Self. And I read these lines, and I thought I would share them with you to set the tone. It's Friday. Did I tell you that? 4th of July? I can't remember if I mentioned that. We were supposed to be doing a talk in Glastonbury today. Also, I was going to go and take some photographs of a place for the cover of my book, but I do need broad sunshine. And it looks like it's clouding over. But that's okay. We may well be passing the same place on Sunday when Julia and I go off and have a look at some land with the option to buy it. So it's all very exciting, and the days are quite slow now because one wants to get to that point to say yay or nay, and if it's a yes, we get the deal done. Anyway, I wanted to read this to you. This is from this The Quest of the Over-Self, it's called, published, I suppose, in the 1950s. I forget when. Did we work out when it was? First published 1937. The ordinary man moves irresponsibly from one thought to another and lightly lets his mind work at its own sweet will. Yet his thoughts are something for which he is responsible, and they in turn will react and are reacting upon the whole of his material life. The advisability of eliminating undesirable thoughts and of fostering the finer ones is something he but dimly sees. It might seem fantastic and far-fetched to assert that there is any such connection between what a man thinks and what happens to him in the material world, between the condition of his mind and his material well-being. But those who have practiced the methods advocated here for sufficient years and watched the results of their practice in their own lives will know that this is not a fantasy, but the actual truth, and that man's eternal life is very largely a reflection of his mental world. Unfortunately, so strong has our age become, saturated with materialistic views about life, that it has lost, to a large extent, both the memory and the belief in the subtler mind powers of man. Such a loss, however, cannot and does not alter the basic fact of their existence. So long as we prefer to continue in spiritual ignorance, so long must we go on groping our way with the cataract film of materialism over our eyes. The result is much unnecessary suffering and an utter inability to fathom the deeper purposes of nature and the destiny of our race. It goes on, but I just wanted to read that one paragraph because I thought that was very powerful. And I'm in two minds to read that on my main video channel. So if you watch both, or rather if you listen to both, excuse me, you may hear the same paragraph. I think it's very true. And of course, I've grown up with this in my mind ever since I was 16, 17, reading some of my father's books, in which they too talk about the fact that the magic of the mind is within, and that by taking a retreat within, you can fashion the world in which you want. Now, it's true to say that I have many periods of my life, the short life that I've had so far, even though it is coming up for 62 years, I still feel that is only very short in this iteration. That life in the 20th and 21st century has jigged us about so much with the material need to earn a living, to find a profession and be diverted away from those things which truly matter. And I have to confess, I suppose, like so many people, brainwashed to start with through the state school education system, to turn potential free thinkers into limited slaves of a commercial enterprise to get people to be working, I was seduced, and I believed, believed that one can achieve certain ends. Although I kept flitting, the flickering candle of free thought, freedom, and the breakaway from society has clearly been in my life, for I never, apart from my very first job, which I did for 2 years, I never worked for any length of time for somebody else. And that actually, a bit like my mum and a bit like my dad set up his own business. My mum worked for people for short periods of time and then left and moved on and changed jobs frequently. So a combination of that, as for most of my life I have been independent, albeit working through agencies, theatrical agencies doing the extra work, and entertainment agencies doing the performance work, but working on an ad hoc basis. And then with YouTube, then the corporate world, of course, of working through what effectively was an agency, a company that would hire my services on, again, one day basis. Can you come and film this? Just basically one day. Sometimes it was 2 days, you put up in a hotel and you do 2 days. But effectively it was like one job. And away I would go. And so to a greater than lesser degree, you had autonomy in your, I've had autonomy in my life, and been able to say no thank you to jobs, or I'm busy that day, I'm really sorry. I never used to turn the work down and say I don't want to do it. I would just say, oh, sorry, there's something in the diary I can't do that day. Which was a polite way and a better way
of declining the work when you didn't need it or you
couldn't bring yourself to do it because of certain circumstances. However, they were few and far between, because bringing up a family, the material world, you need to do these things. And I have done some very horrible, not very desirable jobs. But they, of course, fashion you for life, strengthen you in many ways, and one has to do that. But now, at approaching 62, and I would say, I do think when you reach your 60s, I suppose you could say you've had 50 years of conscious life. You're obviously conscious the first 10 years of your life and setting things up, but I think once you reach 10, after your first decade, and some might argue after your second decade, and that may well be true. So therefore, after 40 years of a material work, and let's stay with that, after 40 years of work, which would be, for me, 40 years of the pursuit of a entertaining, acting, life, performance. I feel I have finished my apprenticeship. I have finished the learning phase, the apprenticeship of life, and now it is time to start living, which is why I think it is actually time to get this land, to withdraw a certain amount from the fast pace of nature. And particularly now, with the nonsense that we may well be going into, and the lies and the untruths that will be purported to be happening on a grand theatrical scale across the world, is a time to withdraw from that and say, you have your unrest, your upside down world, you have that, mankind, but don't drag me along with it. For I wish to see the sunrise and the sunset. I wish to grow the plants. I wish to connect to the earth. I wish no more the hurly-burly. The maturity of man slowly creeps up. Sorry, I am fiddling with my nose all the way through this because I've a bit bunged up from these. Whatever they're spraying and the 5G and all of this, you know, wants to get away from the dust of the town. But yes, maturity begins to creep in and you start to realise what it is you actually want. I mean, some people call, well, you know, this realization comes, I suppose, because some people think of it as, oh, you've got to that age where you could retire. You know, people used to retire at 65. That used to be the thing. People lived 70 years, didn't they? And they sort of class now that at around about 60 to 70, you know, you're sort of thinking of retirement. You're slowing down And what does retirement mean? Oh, a few years of doing your own thing and then dying. Well, I don't look at it like that at all. I look at it as there is no such thing as retiring. What are you retiring from? Well, the workplace, I suppose. Well, that's fair enough. Not retiring from life. In fact, you enter into a phase of maturity in which your thinking is clearer. You've been around, you've had wisdom, you've had a chance in between the slavish working to pay stupid mortgages and these man-made things which really are irrelevant but necessary in the lives that we have been duped into living. After all, life should not have been about working to pay mortgages off and to have high positions and fast cars and trinkets and earning money. Life isn't, you get to that point when you get into a mature state, you realize that all that has been a lie, and that for 40 years you've been under this illusion that these were necessary things. And of course others have felt the same, and they have built stronger and stronger to this materialistic illusion, that the nonsense that to take shelter from the elements when it's too hot, when it's too cold, when it's too warm, when it's too wet, when it's too windy, when it's too icy, that in order that you take shelter, you construct or you purchase a shelter with a roof, with four walls and a roof, that the council has any command that you then have to pay them money. I find this so absurd, that the councils, a public authority, your public servants, in theory, although they are businesses on registered on places like Dun and Bradstreet, that these businesses have any business with you whatsoever is the most absurd thing. That to have shelter, that they can come and say, ah, even though you've either built the place or you've bought the place yourself, they still want, year after year, thousands of pounds from you. I mean, if I think on average I've spent £1,000 a year, I have given to the council, I've been here 35 years and I haven't paid for the last couple of years, I've given them 30-odd thousand pounds. For me to take shelter from the elements. Isn't that absurd? That is absurd. What have they done with that £30,000, I ask you? And why should I have paid it? To take shelter, forced out of me. Better to have had a system in which they say to you, would you like your bins collected? Yes, please. That will cost you £50 a year. Right, okay, I'll have that. We want street lighting. Yes, please. Well, that'll cost you £20 a year. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll have some street lighting. If you would like the police, the fire and what have you, it's going to cost you this, this and this. Oh, okay. Well, I don't really need the fire. I don't believe that. Well, if you have a fire, they'll come, but it'll cost you this. Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, maybe I'll take the risk and have an insurance policy. Maybe that is a good idea. I don't know. But rather have a tariff of these things, which on the whole most people, if they can afford it, would pay. If they can't afford it because they haven't any work, or their work is very poor, poorly paid, they could still make the decision, do you know what, I perhaps won't have the fire, I'll take that gamble. And perhaps the council, in a nice benevolent council, would say, yeah, fine, don't worry, I'll tell you what. They'd make this the cheapest they could have it, so that should you have it, what is the average amount of fires in a year? Not very many, okay, so it won't cost you that much. We will, you may not be able to afford to rebuild the house. All these things could be worked out instead of a blanket forced for fee called the council tax, that you should be taxed. We know that in historic times a tax was collected to enable the king to continue fighting abroad. That's how he got his money. This seems to me exactly what is happening now. And that if we pay these taxes, we are agreeing that the king can continue with his government to have these fights abroad. He seems to enjoy that. And of course, commanding armies who will suffer. Either one side will die or the other side will die. Both, you know, and atrocities will happen unnecessarily if people said, do you know what? No thanks, not having any of that taxi business. Thank you very much. That you should be taxed on what you earn, again, is a ridiculous notion. That you should be taxed for going out and trying to earn food and buy clothes, buy books, buy whatever you need, carpets, something to sit on, that you would be taxed. And that money given to the government is an absurdity. The government have all this money coming in. What do they do with it? They squander it on unnecessary things. I don't actually object to a small amount of tax. Small, like VAT, if it was back to, say, 5% on objects. I don't object to that because, A, if it was a small enough amount, it wouldn't over-impact the price that is being charged. But also, I mean, the government does need some revenue, of course, coming in. I don't believe it should be on your income that that is difficult for people. But you have a choice on what you buy. And therefore, if you don't want to pay too much tax, you could have the choice of not buying certain things. Now, essentials should not be taxed. Food should not be taxed. Books should not be taxed. But luxuries, I have no problem with that, at, say, 5%. That, to me, is enough to put on something. So you're going to buy something for £100, it's £105. £5 of that goes to the government. I don't see that too much as a problem. But 25%? Is it at the moment, VAT? Is it 20% or 25%? I can't remember. It's hugely overpriced. The government, and also for the fact that we're with this fiat currency, they're printing their own bloody money as well. I mean, it is a nonsense, is it not? So, however, I've strayed well and truly off the topic that I wanted to talk about, which was the mind that we have. Our thoughts make huge impact in our lives. And it's only when you get to about 60, I think, that you get to a certain maturity and you realise, I've done my apprenticeship. And if you're able, and life has been kind to you, maybe it's because you've had good thoughts, and circumstances have gone in the right direction, that you can actually have time to follow your dreams, and indeed have time to think that some of the rules and regulations in this world are just not right, and not accept them and challenge them and say, wait a minute, actually, hold on, now I've got time to sit down and think. I'm thinking your council tax, your HMRC revenue is not a good idea. It's impeding people to live a healthy, abundant life and thrive. And these governments are set up by us, in theory. And if they are dictating and controlling us, then they must go. For that was not their purpose. That is not the purpose of a body of people who have been assigned a certain amount of power to protect and look after us. And they don't seem to be doing that job, so they should go. Simple as that. That is my humble opinion. 25 minutes in, I didn't realise I'd been speaking quite so long. Thank you for listening. I will go and have a shave now, get myself ready for the day. Until next time, goodbye.